everybody. Welcome to the Damage Report. As a joke, I reached to an empty shot glass on my desk and like fake drank it before, and there was a little bit of whiskey still in it. So good morning, everybody. John Iadarola is out of town. I think he's reliving moments from his youth with his best friend from college. There will probably by this day, which is Friday, I think it's day three of his time with Quay, there will be a tower of empty donut boxes and pie tins as far as the eye can see. Maybe blocking a door. I feel concerned for them, but we wish them the greatest fun times as he avoids a convention to convene with his best friend from college. Oh, that does sound like fun. Luckily, we have some best friends on the show today. I am Brett Ehrlich sitting in for him, and Jordan Ewell from Deep Dive joins us right now. Jordan, how are you doing today?
Brett, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. Thank you for this amazing opportunity to stand in for you. This is I would be in your spot.
I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier in that spot. People just ask you questions and you go, here's what I think. So if you can handle that, you can really handle today's show. But you've done this on a Friday. You've sat in for me before, right?
I have. John's, you know, John's a seasoned host. I mean, you're a little rough around the edges, so we'll see. You put the bad in Bad Boys of TYT. I'm a little nervous.
It's gonna be a Busnuts show on the show today. I get it. Good, because I put a lot of little jokes in here about Jordan and created false rivalries. So we're gonna hit those moments along the way. There's a level two hype train happening right now on Twitch. For all of you, Trekkie Nurse Dragon just gifted 3 tier 1 subs, and Metal Kitty Mom just donated 1,000 bits, which is fantastic. And a big happy TYT birthday, dumpster fire timing, but you know, to not a people who are baby day. So they have 9 months, and BC Trumpet with 5 tier 1 subs. Thank you all to everybody who's watching here on YouTube, everywhere. I do want to do a little public service announcement before we start, and I'll have to say it again. Because as much as we tell you guys, it just doesn't get through to you. After this show, we're gonna go, you can go from here to youtube.com/indisputabletyt. Because we're no longer simulcasting Indisputable on the Damage Report channel. Something very hilarious has happened where people are in the chat for this show and they're asking, why isn't Indisputable on? Why isn't Indisputable on? If they just looked at the screen at the time, they would see a slate that says, here's where Indisputable is. Watch it now at youtube.com/indisputabletyt. If you're watching on Twitch, however, you just stay put. You might need to refresh, but that's about it while holding onto your butts. So that's my public service announcement. We'll revisit it later on. We have an awesome show planned for you today. We're gonna talk about the Justice for J6 rally with someone who is going to attend that rally. We'll talk about it. It's Jordan, spoiler alert, but he's gonna go. So we're gonna get a look. We're gonna prime him essentially for what to expect and what people are saying about it. And then he's gonna tell us essentially, I'm gonna ask you, Jordan, how you're preparing for it and all that. So that's awesome. Dan Patrick, the Lieutenant Governor of Texas, has been just saying some really horrible stuff about immigrants. So that must mean it's a Friday. We've got 2 amazing Karen freakout videos that I've been itching to put on various shows throughout the week, and everybody has said no. So we're gonna show you those. Just what you're in for if you try to go out to in the world with the Kens and Karens who don't like vaccines. We're gonna check in on Mike Pillow, Mike Lindell's desperate attempt to convince Fox to take his money and how it's backfiring. We're gonna show you who is taking his money and reveal how much money they've had to pay in damages to people they've defrauded over the years. We're gonna show you who Fox just hired, which is pretty much par for their course. And how are negotiations going with Biden and Manchin? They may have told you, but you may have heard there was a big meeting to take place with Joe versus Joe. Manchin and Biden were gonna sit down and talk about their negotiations. We'll talk about how that goes for the infrastructure. An update to the controversy surrounding The Activist, which is that show that was gonna come out on CBS, and everyone was like, it is weird that you're making people trying to raise money for noble causes compete against each other and dance for their money in front of Usher, which like who, I would not wanna dance for Usher. I wouldn't even wanna dance with Usher because he's so good at it. And then obviously the garbage people of the week, stay tuned for that. We got an hour and a half of amazing content for you as our hype train continues. So Jordan, are you ready for this?
Brad, I was born ready.
Oh my God, when did you change your name to Jordan? Okay, here we go. Let's do it. Just a few months after, I guess that makes it 9 months after the January 6th rally, is September 16th. 2021, when the Justice for J6 rally is to occur in Washington, D.C., where the plan was for a bunch of people to take to the streets and of Washington and protest the unjust captivity of political prisoners just because they happened to overrun barricades, kill about five people, and essentially trespass and call for the heads of Mike Pence and Nancy Pelosi. That's all they did. And originally a bunch of people were gonna go out there. But since then, the political hot potato of the January 6th riots has become so toxic for pretty much everybody that even the Republicans are turning against them. We're gonna tell you about that, who was originally supposed to go and who's not. And at the end of this, we're gonna get to what Donald Trump is saying. So stick around for that. Is he endorsing the event? Is he not? But first, let's get into what this event actually is. The so-called Justice for J6 rally, according to Huffington Post, organized by former Donald Trump campaign operative Matt Brainerd and his group Look Ahead America, is looking back. It's meant to show support for the violent mob that overran the Capitol 8 months ago. He also, amid all this, just to let you know, that guy has said that people, since then, he's told folks not to wear Donald Trump gear because they don't, we'll get into why in a second, but he said, we request that anybody attending our events not wear any clothing or have signs supportive of either Donald Trump or Biden. Like you would be supportive of Joe Biden, hilarious. Here's what Congress is doing. Not a single member of Congress has confirmed his or her attendance, even those who have been most outspoken in portraying the rioters as patriots who have been persecuted for their political beliefs. That's the New York Times reporting. And the question, how toxic has this been even for the right-wing freako system? Extremist groups like the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers appear to have backed off publicly from Saturday's event. A lot of these groups, according to Jared Holt of the Atlantic Council's Digital Forensics Lab, he says a lot of these groups seem to be pretty clear with their members that they shouldn't go to this thing on Saturday. And that by doing so, they could end up putting their members who are still facing trial for their role in January 6th into a more precarious legal situation. From everything I can tell, says Jared, that consensus has been heard and people have the intention of obeying them. So that's how people are kind of angling. Again, we'll get to Trump's comments on this in a second, but Jordan, you are attending the rally. First of all, how does what are you expecting? But more importantly, how does it make you feel that Jared Holt was quoted in the Huffington Post article and you were not?
Jared's a good friend of mine. Jared, yeah. Actually, in preparation for me heading down there tomorrow, gave me a bunch of information and intel to help me to better understand the landscape. So, much love to Jared.
What is that landscape? What are you expecting? Have these messages gotten through per his intel to the people who are going to attend? What's the lay of the land?
I think so. According to a bunch of like Telegram channels, a bunch of Proud Boys channels and leaders of different chapters, they're all dissuading their members from going. They're distancing themselves. I mean, this Matt Brainerd isn't really a figure in this community. What we're talking about is specifically a lot of these hate groups and like white nationalist groups. So we might see fewer of them and mostly just kind of like the total Facebook boomer brain, like people who just believe everything they see. You'll probably just have a bunch of like a handful of lunatics. Physically though, I went down there last night around like midnight to see kind of what it looks like. And it is like a giant cage around the entire Capitol complex, like really tall. And there were Capitol police everywhere. Like I have not seen it like this in a very, very long time. I can't remember last time I've seen it like this. Maybe immediately post January 6th, but certainly not obviously before. And in my recollection, not even like an inauguration. It's really, really locked down and intense, which I think is like maybe overkill for what is actually expected here. It gives them more of the optics of probably what the optics of what they want, which is this overreaction, this total police state aesthetic, when in reality it's probably only going to be a handful of real hangers on and just people who are true believers, and then totally outnumbered by Capitol Police and media as well.
That's all. So I know that in the wake of the January 6th riots, they had put up a bunch of fencing in DC. Has that remained up or did they take it down eventually?
They did take it down. Midsummer, they took it down. And it was nice. It was great. I think one of the best things about living here and especially going up there is the ability that you can walk up to the Capitol, get a really cool picture like right at the base of the rotunda, sit on the steps. I mean, if you remember the Cori Bush protest where she sat on the steps, the fencing had just come down shortly before that. So people were able to congregate there and have that sit in on the steps of the Capitol. That's really cool. And I think that is a beacon of freedom, actually, that you're able to go up to right to the Capitol. And it just feels very at odds with kind of what we ultimately want to be. I don't think we are, but what we ultimately want to be and idealistically, what we think we are. And that is, you know, this beacon of freedom around the world. So the caging feels very weird. And again, I think it's overkill, but it came down midsummer and they just put it back up a couple of days ago.
And then, so what's the messaging that you've seen from, have you like looked into the event and how people, like how they're messaging to their folks, like before this backlash happened? You kind of hinted at what kinds of people are there, but like, what do you think they're going to be thinking? Like the folks on the ground, what are they gonna, the people who aren't backing away, like what would they even expect out of something like this?
I don't know, but I'm going to ask them. I've got a long list of of questions. I'm really excited. We're gonna have videos like over the weekend. We're gonna have some Saturday. We're gonna have some Sunday, asking them like specifically, what do you think January 6th is a hoax? What's going on here? Get into some of their beliefs about Trump coming back in 2024, a wide array of political, social issues from around the country. I don't know what they actually believe. I think they think there's more people in jail or prison than there actually are. And I do think that they actually believe that they are being held because of their political beliefs, not because they broke into the Capitol and destroyed federal property, which just can't do it.
It's so nuts. And then just in terms of like the level, I always like to look to Lindsey Graham in these situations. Like what would Lindsey do? Because he is at all times trying to take the most politically expedient angle for him. So in the wake of the January 6th riots, he was like, this is terrible. We should not affiliate ourselves with that. Since then, he's kind of sidled up to this same contingent, kind of giving them outs and excuses at every turn for why they might have done something like this and where the overreaction from the Biden political apparatus actually, you know, they're overreacting. But if you look at what Lindsey Graham said about it, he said of the Capitol Police, they need to take a firm line, buddy. If anybody gets out of line, they need to whack them. Lindsey Graham, just like someone, I wonder what Lindsey Graham thinks he sounds like when he says stuff like this. But do you think like the folks that are gonna be at this rally, like like messaging like this from Lindsey Graham, why is he doing something like that? And what does he seek to achieve from it?
I think he's covering his tracks. You know, a ton of Republicans were silent on January 6th, or in some cases encouraged it, made excuses for it. But it got a little too real in the immediate aftermath. So I think going into this, and then also because they didn't dissuade or discourage anyone from attending or participating in the run-up, I think a lot of them were trying or worried this could happen again and need to get out in front of it. The messaging, though, anyone gets out of line, we need to whack them, is a little alarming. And I think this is a bipartisan issue. I don't see a lot of liberals and progressives explicitly condemning the killing of Ashley Babbitt. And I think this has become, she's become a martyr on the right. And I don't think that's fair, because they obviously don't at large care about police brutality. But like in that scenario, you look at that video, they had plenty of time to like tase her, apprehend her. I mean, he shot from like several feet away. Like, I don't think it's like a ludicrous claim to say, hey, maybe she shouldn't have been killed. Like, but it's turned into just a complete inverse of what we typically, the argument we typically have around police brutality. Like, we don't need members of Congress encouraging Capitol Police to assault people. Like, look, just get them off the Capitol ground, send them home. Just do that. We don't need to encourage more police violence. And I see that play out with the Ashley Babbitt thing. And it's like, no, like, please, like, you don't need to kill her. Tase her, cuff her, whatever. Don't kill her. Like, we don't need an extrajudicial police system. That's it. And I'm dismayed that we don't see more of that when people justify it, which I think is kind of ludicrous.
Yes, I definitely think of when I've rewatched that video and I've heard people yell gun. Those same people who yell gun in shock that a police officer would have one pointed at them, yell gun with great exuberance when a police officer points it at pretty much any other human being in any other context, or dog, or like thing they just want to shoot at. Like, gun is super happy, except in that very specific context. And they don't have the self-awareness to understand that, like, yeah, you are doing things that would fall into the category that if anyone else was doing them, you would want the police to shoot them directly in the face. I think it's hilarious to see people like Lindsey Graham take this hardline stance in favor of the cops. He's saying if anyone gets out of line, this is his, yeah, I agree with the covering the tracks. He's like, well, later he can go back and say, well, those folks were in line. Show me how out of line they were. But he does want to say, you know, police sort of have to do their job and I'm on the side of them. But looking at this, this is exactly one of the central themes that everybody should be paying attention to when it comes to Lindsey Graham, Kevin McCarthy, Mitch McConnell, all the establishment people who are saying no. Those establishment people have been talking trash about, conveniently, when it's convenient to them, they're talking trash about every political institution that they know that Trump's rabid base needs to talk trash about and hate. Unfortunately for them, they're like the people who are now out on a limb sawing off the limb of the tree, thinking what's gonna happen. You think the tree's gonna fall? No, that's you. Like, they are undercutting these institutions at every turn just to get in on that messaging Trump train, not realizing that that train is running right through them. And this was the perfect encapsulation of that, because they were pointing that train directly at the representatives themselves. And they're very happy that this woman was shot, because otherwise it would have been their blood. I totally understand the extrajudicial killing things. It speaks more to the lack of preparedness, the lack of taking this kind of thing seriously. I totally understand that the Secret Service, who are the last stand against someone assassinate, at that point they're going to assassinate people, and so you shoot back into the crowd. Like, you shoot back into the crowd. It's more the lack of preparedness that allows this giant mob to get in the Capitol building. But I promised what Donald Trump would say about it, so we'll get to that right now. So let's get into it. What is Donald Trump saying about the people who have planned the Justice for J6 rally? It's kind of changed over the last 72 hours, but here's the messaging that Donald Trump has given to the group that, by the organizers, has been told not to wear any Donald Trump gear. He says, people are so disgusted with the way people are being treated from the January 6th situation. This is my impression of John doing an impression of Trump. It's a combination of that compared with how Antifa and BLM were treated. When you compare that treatment, it's just so unjust, it's so unfair, it's so disgraceful. On Saturday though, he said, that's a setup. If people don't show up, they'll say, oh, it's a lack of spirit. And if people do show up, they'll be harassed. I can appreciate why Republicans don't want anything to do with this. When asked about essentially why the people in power in the party apparatus are backing away from it, he's like, I appreciate why Republicans don't want anything to do with this, but there is a lot of angst in the Republican base that is saying something without saying anything. And then finally, our hearts and minds are with the people being persecuted so unfairly relating to the January 6th protest concerning the rigged presidential election. In addition to everything else, it has proven conclusively that we are a two-tiered system of justice. In the end, however, justice will prevail. So that is a bunch of statements. Jordan, what do you make of them?
Look, I don't know if I've ever agreed with something Trump said more than we have a two-tiered system of justice. We do, but it's not with the one he thinks it is. It's extremely rich to see that. This is such like a wordsmith, PR'd statement that he most assuredly did not write himself. It's a lot of saying something without saying anything. It's a lot of equivocating. But yeah, he's kind of winking and nodding at these people to keep them going while trying to condemn them, so he's not as like on the hook for anything they do. It's a total politician statement. He's evolved in that regard. Maybe not having a Twitter account has helped him be more contemplative with his thoughts. Maybe it's having an on-hand comms person, who knows? But that is a funny statement to hear from a guy who pretty directly encouraged it, including speaking at the January 6th event and saying, we're gonna head up to the Capitol.
It's just like, you can also tell like who, in what platform or interview style he's actually answering questions. Like that last one, our hearts and minds with the people persecuted. Dude, you are submitting written responses. The other one, you're on the phone. It's like, I can appreciate it, but there's a lot of angst out there. The other ones where he's like, people are so disgusted with the way people are being treated. It's a, you know, it's just like, he says treated 8 times. Those are the audio interviews and the ones where it's like compound complex sentences. It's like somebody still in his orbit is tasked with listening to Trump and translating it into something that the Federalist would like to eventually like upload on their website. It's so crazy. But yeah, Trump is going to do what Trump has always done, which is not actually be the leader of this movement, but the guy who develops like an hour long set of talking points based on what this movement cheers loudest about. Done, finished. That's what he's doing. But the weird tap dancing that he's doing around all the actual real interesting issues is just absolutely, absolutely entertaining at this point when they can't see him on Twitter. And are they actually reading articles like this and getting this information? Like, who's disseminating that to the Trump base? I don't know if enough of them are on all these platforms. They're taking the distilled version through Fox, who itself is currently, as we'll discuss later with Mike Lindell, trying to distance themselves from the real icky versions of this. And so it's relegated to the OANNs and Newsmax, which who knows who even has those in their cable package anymore. Anyhow, all right, we got to take a break because here we break for comments to respond to the Dragon Squad. Let's do that right now. We got 4 minutes of it. Hold on to your butts. Fantastic. All right, welcome back. For those of you who wondered what just happened, if you're a subscriber, you won't see ads. You will just see us talking directly to you. We talked about you in the last break. Just know that that's what's happening when we break for comments. All right, let's get into this insane statement from the Lieutenant Governor of Texas. Dan Patrick is a former talk show host And you can see those talk radio muscles flexing big as he signals to his audience of Trump supporters, comma, xenophobes, as he goes on Laura Ingraham's show to talk about, really, as folks are talking about the horrible riots and that were happening on January 6th in an attempt to overthrow the government, he's talking about the real silent revolution that's being executed before our very eyes without firing a single shot. Here it is.
Let me tell you something, Laura, and everyone watching. The revolution has begun, a silent revolution by the Democrat Party and Joe Biden to take over this country. Tomorrow is Constitution Day. And folks, if you haven't read it, you need to read Article 4, Section 4 very quickly. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union and shall protect each of them against invasion and domestic violence and guarantee a Republican form of government. We need every state, every red state, because the blue ones won't do it, to send and invoke Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution to tell the president that we are being invaded. When I say a revolution has begun, they are allowing this year probably 2 million, that's who we apprehend, and maybe another million into this country. At least in 18 years, even if they all don't become citizens before then and can vote, in 18 years, if every one of them has two or three children, you're talking about millions and millions and millions of new voters. And they will thank the Democrats and Biden for bringing them here. Who do you think they're going to vote for? So this is trying to take over our country without firing a shot.
So, Jordan, that was pretty coded. I'm not sure the subtle racism and xenophobia got through to a lot of the audience, but as an expert on media, what is your take on the subtle jabs at Latinos that were being doled out by Dan Patrick?
Yeah, you really have to kind of read between the lines there. It's so obfuscated. No, I mean, he like basically, this is the great replacement theory. It's that people are coming across the border, people who are non-white are coming across the border, and they are going to either push you out of your communities or take over in this mechanism through voting by Democrats, he's saying. Unbelievable that this, like, it's gotten to this point. I guess, should we even be surprised at this now? Like, they've been hinting at this. Laura Ingraham has been specifically saying this. She's a couple of years ago went on these rants about how immigrants are destroying the America we know and love. Tucker Carlson has openly said that immigrants make America poorer and dirtier and more divided. That's what they believe, and now as a result, that espousing these beliefs on TV, millions of Americans now firmly believe this, that immigrants are coming in, displacing them, pushing them out, replacing them. That is the great replacement theory. It's a white supremacist worldview. Unconscionable that this is allowed, that advertisers still fund this network, that anybody associates them, that people go on that network. Across the board, it's despicable. Maybe you have, but I've been invited on Fox in the past, and I won't do it. I don't buy into this idea that reaching people who watch that network is somehow going to be anything other than self-serving. It's absolutely disgusting.
I've never been invited on Fox News to dispel those rumors of me being relevant.
All the gossip blogs are chattering about Brett's invite on Fox News.
Wait, do you care to share who invited you on and in what context? Like, how did they court your voice on that network?
It wasn't anything big. It was a weekend whatever the nondescript, like, all day weekend programming. It wasn't anything big, but they wanted me to go on and debate climate change with some blabbermouth right wing radio host, which obviously A was not going to be a debate, and B they wanted me just to be a liberal punching bag. It's like, no, I'm not going to help you. Why would I help you?
So crazy. I love that. And I've never been asked to go on Fox, but I've been asked to go on like CNN's entertainment stuff, which there's a lot of like non-news happening, a lot of like just like the format for how they ask you to go on shows like that. It's like, can you please come in and be an expert in 9 minutes? We'll tell you when you get there and you're getting mic'd up what you're talking about. Like, there's a lot of that in that kind of like newsy block. But yeah, congratulations, not only for being asked onto Fox News, but for being like this, you know, smelling the trap on the way in. Just more about what Dan Patrick said. He said, this is denying us our government that's run by our citizens with illegals who are here, who are going to take our education, our health care. So it's government, it's politics, it's healthcare, it's safety. This is basically word cloud vomit. Do you know how many thousands of people will die in America because of the drugs coming across the border? What you see here is just an example of disciplined Republican messaging, where they just say a bunch of the same words close together with prepositions and like scary verbs in between, like invading. And that's what's weird to hear from, like, at the risk of sounding like an old timey Fox viewer. It's like, can you believe these dirty Catholics are coming across the border in hordes? Dan Patrick sounds pretty Irish to me. Sounds like he'd be in the same grab bag of once called dirty immigrants who are making America dirtier, poorer, and less Protestant. Like, it's so insane that they don't hear themselves. And that's another central theme of them not hearing themselves talk. These folks who benefited from an open arm system, in theory, give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses longing to breathe free. That's why they came. That's why people are coming now. That is what we're putting forth to America. And that's that kind of freedom and opportunity is what they're seeking. And in terms of making America less safe, I'll give you my discipline messaging back. Immigrants commit less crime than migrants commit less crime than people who are citizens. Period. They do less of it. And don't hit me with that. Well, they're illegal by being here. No. They don't do all of the stuff that you're saying they do, where they're robbing, they're thieving, they're murdering. They don't do that nearly on the level that people on your side say that they do. And people that you're trying to protect from them actually perpetrate those crimes. So it's just not an issue. That is the origin. That is fake news as it was originally coined. You're making up stuff about a group of people. And then you're gonna like throw out these little quotes like, here is one case where someone was murdered. I think that's a horrible situation. And I think anytime someone's murdered, it's a horrible situation. I do those victims the respect of communicating the actual facts of the case clearly, as opposed to using them for political points like you are. So that's what you have to say back to those folks who are just chucking dumbness at you.
On that care for other people, though, that point specifically is so patently ludicrous, because one of the justifications was they're taking our healthcare. Well, think about what Dan Patrick was saying 1 year ago, as COVID was reaching, you know, its highest point up until now recently with Florida. He specifically said and justified the deaths of people who had COVID to say, like, look, they want to die, so they don't get in the way of the economy. He was perfectly willing to throw these people under the bus or onto the train tracks just to keep the capitalism locomotive going. So he does not care about his residents, his base. He doesn't care about people who are in the way of the giant crushing gears of capitalism. He is in it to further his agenda and to keep people pitted against one another. When he has the working class pitted against immigrants, it benefits the capitalist class. That's what he's doing. So it's not about taking our healthcare. That's such a ludicrous suggestion.
Yeah, and our healthcare ain't that great. We don't got a system with a lot of people who are like, let's get in on that, because they treat everybody in America. They don't. It's so nuts. Yeah, in the they can't hear themselves speaking category, it's just like with the vaccination stuff, where they're like, it's my body, my choice. We'll get into and at the same time, you're not allowing women to say the exact same thing, my body, my choice. In fact, you are looting that messaging for your own political reasons. All right, we got to take a break for comments. Don't go away. We'll respond to the Dragon Squad, and we got two more Karens before the hour's up. Sit tight. All right, we are back. We got a pair of Karens for the rest of the hour. So if you're on linear and you're like, I really wanted that Karen dose, these are the Karens that I really wanted to be on main show, but they rejected them and I'm mad about it. Okay, here we go. So this Karen, all right, I have to make sure.
Relax.
Okay.
You want to stick a needle in your arm? You can do that too.
Honey, you relax.
Very sore subject for me.
Thanks, man.
The way I've seen the world go down is disgusting. No one's talking a lot about it. Don't come and stop talking about it.
He did not.
Because no one's talking about it and it's disgusting. Stop. And no one wants to talk about it. Everyone.
No one's talking. I know, everyone shut up. Everyone else is talking too. I know, no one else is talking, exactly. Honey, stop, right now, you're causing me to talk more.
Because no one else is talking, exactly. It's
enough.
And everyone knows it.
Enough.
It's maiming and killing people. You want something?
Honey.
I'd rather do heroin than I'd rather put a vaccine in my arm. I'd rather take a shot of heroin. Honestly, God. I'd rather take a shot of heroin.
Honey. That is
retarded
talk. Stop.
No, it's not. I'd rather take a shot of heroin. At least I know it's heroin.
Oh, sorry. No, you're good. I didn't say nothing.
Shut up, dude. Please, stop.
No, you.
No, I'm not stopping. This has
Bring that up.
No, but you brought that up, and I hate the fact that you brought that up.
Can I apologize for you to bring it up?
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
He did not tell you. I know, but you brought the fact that
I don't know what you're
he
telling
said
me.
If we wanted to go to Cabo, and you would.
No. That's all. No, I will not be wearing a mask anywhere.
I know. It's good.
Nor will I be getting tested.
Okay, we're good. Stop.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. It just gets my blood boiling.
Stop.
The sadness.
Can you look at me?
Yes, I love you.
Look at me. Stop.
Look, man.
Stop.
Disgusting.
Stop. Stop.
That was a masterpiece that could only have been played in its entirety. That is a couple who is out at a bar having a few drinks. And it seems like they were just having a conversation and somebody said that, you know, if you do go to Cabo, which must have come up in that conversation, you might need to show proof of vaccination, and that set him off. There's a lot to wade through in that, but what's your take on it, Jordan?
I don't know. I'm surprised at how patient she is. I mean, that seemed like, you know, obviously this guy's got anti-vax, anti-mask views, but also it just seemed like he is gone. He's incredibly drunk and seems like a really annoying drunk. And maybe he should get help for that too. But this is really embarrassing. I don't miss drinking at all when I see things like this. But the line that got me, and I'm curious what you think, was the I'd rather take a shot of heroin than take a vaccine. That's so good.
First of all, you've taken a vaccine. I hate to break it to you, dude. Yeah. You're vaccinated against something in your life. And it's like, at that point, it sounds like you just want heroin. Like, that's what I thought. He's like, I would honestly rather have heroin. Anyways, back to vaccines. But wait, really quick, does anyone have heroin?
I'll prove it to you right now. I just happen to have this tie right here.
Let's go. He's taken cocktail napkins and tied them into a tourniquet. Go for it. Anyways, I don't approve of heroin, but this is a hotel bar and I am in room 236. Vaccines are terrible, heroin. And then Peachy Pax in the Twitch chat had a great line. Because he said, at least I know what's in my heroin. It was, I know what's in my heroin is the stupidest comment ever. Like, you don't know what's in your heroin.
There's an epidemic in this country because people don't know what's in their heroin. It's fentanyl.
From a cinematic perspective, I love this the most because there's a foreground and he's in the background. And the best part about the foreground is it's a glass of rosé.
It's very artistic.
So in the front, in the back, he's talking about the beach he can't go to because he has to show his vaccination. But in the front, they found their beach, like their poolside bar where it is rosé all day. And just like, you can be chill and understand that mask mandates and vaccine mandates are the dominant strategy in a fight against a pandemic that has killed 600,000 of your fellow red-blooded Americans. Or you can get irate about it like this dude. Other details that I love about videos like this. This guy's at the bar. And the bar is a surface dedicated to placing stuff you don't want to hold all the time. Usually it's the food plate, it's the glass. And frequently it is your Oakley wraparound sunglasses. But this dude's not having it. He doesn't trust it. So he's at a bar where all he's done is raised his Oakley wraparound sunglasses, which are like part of the uniform, above his head. Another thing, that part is amazing.
I wish him well.
I wish him well. I wish his wife, because his wife is like, he gets like this. If I could sum up her response, it's he gets like this.
She's like just trying to talk him down. She's like, okay, yeah, sure. That's right, honey. You don't need to get vaccinated. That's right. We're just gonna get denied at the border and waste all this money on a Cabo trip. It's okay. Shh, it's okay.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, this is just the prequel
to his like throwing a tantrum at the Delta terminal.
All right, I'm gonna reach out to Judith, see if we can get a camera crew. I'm going. I'm on location.
I wonder where he is. I don't even know where this was that it took place, but it has gone viral and it's gotten 200,000 views on one of the posts alone. I love it so very much. And then even another little bit about this that happens in the video that I think I kind of want, like, the guy that gets up and originally apparently mentioned the vaccine mandates or testing in Cabo comes over and apologizes and says, I don't wear a mask either. I apologize. I don't even wear a mask either. Like, this little instinct to be like, it is weird around people. It's hard to keep the mask and the discipline up. But like this, I'm with you, man, but I put up with it. This dude yelling like he's the voice of reason. And like even the guy who is by comparison a voice of reason seems like is giving an already like dumb reaction, but we have to take it because at least he's not shouting profanity and obscenity at the bar. It's nuts. From there, we go to New York, where we have at a pizzeria in New York City, a family of anti-vax, anti-mask folks, and anti-vax card folks manages to make it past the host and hostess and get a seat at the pizzeria. And once they're there, they choose to make a big old stink of it. Here's how that went.
Are you refusing service?
Yeah, you need to get vaccinated.
So you're going to enforce segregation because we just told you that we're religiously exempt.
You told us you had your vaccination.
I never told you any of that. I would never tell you that. I would never say that. I would never say that.
You have to leave.
You don't have to leave. If you have the flyer, you got the flyer that you're supposed to put into your window, right? Okay. Go and read it, and you tell me we're not leaving. Well, I'm not leaving. You guys can leave. I'm not leaving. Everybody in here is okay with that? Everybody's in here okay with setting segregation in society? Everybody's okay with that? Oh, we don't have our vaccine card, so now the kids can't eat. We can't eat. You guys are okay with that? This is the America you want to live in? Is this the America you want to live in? You see, you're not American. That's why you need to get out of here if you're not American. All right? Get out of here, okay? This is America, and in America, everybody can eat. Everybody can eat in America, all right? This is not segregation.
This is not segregation. May have been the inadvertently truest thing he said during all of that. Jordan, what's your take?
The line "In America, everyone can eat" is kind of sad because, buddy, I got news for you. You've got millions of people who go to bed hungry. You've got 40 or so million people who live in poverty. So no, not everyone can eat. But also, I love the line where he kind of does a call and response with the rest of the, you know, the patrons. It's like, is everyone okay with this? And a bunch of people are like, yep, just get out. I feel bad for the people he singled out also, though, to say that they aren't American, they don't belong there, because like we do, and especially in New York. New York is really unique in that you just see people from all over the world there. And it's a very special place because of its diversity. So to suggest, it's people like him, who's probably just some loser from Long Island, like just to suggest, I mean, it really is, or Staten Island. Like those are like the worst parts of New York. Like just to say, like the people who are eating there got their vaccines or being careful, just want a slice of pizza, that they're not American. They somehow aren't as deserving of being there as he is. Like he is such a loser and a waste of space. I feel bad for people who are on the receiving end of that, but just get out. Like I said at the beginning, maybe people didn't hear us because our mics weren't on. But the concert I went to last night, everyone had to show proof of vaccination. Everyone had to wear masks, and it was awesome. We had a packed house. It was great. Everyone's fine because people took a couple precautionary measures, and we can return to normalcy as this thing continues to dissipate. It's a little bit of a self-sacrifice in a spirit of collectivism to make the lives of everyone around us better. It's great.
Yeah, like today or yesterday, Madison Cawthorn also called it apartheid. He called it apartheid, like, and specifically talking about travel restrictions in the air. Like, and regulations that go in, these are regulations and standards that keep people safe, right? They keep you safe. They have a protocol they have to follow, or the restaurant gets shut down. They tell you you have to put your seat back and tray table in the upright and locked position for safety on takeoff and landing. Wear your safety belt for safety on takeoff and landing and when there's turbulence. All of these things are regulations to keep you safe. The pilot can't be drunk. You can't be making a disturbance. You can't charge the cockpit. Like, these are all things that are designed with your safety in mind. And to call it, to equate that with apartheid and segregation, I can't believe, and this is the number one dilemma that faces me on a daily basis dealing with morons like this, is do I gotta explain it? Do I gotta tell you that segregation based on race is how you're born? Like, we were all born unvaccinated, correct? But you choosing that this is the one vaccine you're not gonna take, that's your choice. That, like, were you this upset when for safety they banned smoking? Are you going in and lighting up? That's you putting something in your body that's your choice, and putting something in someone else's body that's not their choice. This reduces that risk. And in a densely populated area like New York City, they have chosen to enforce these protocols to keep people safer. And what's hilarious is, from what I read, you could sit outside and eat without showing any of this. So that just means you can sit outside and have the exact same experience as people inside who've shown vaccination, because the fact is you have a higher likelihood to spread and catch COVID on the inside. So all these questions, this is another central theme. People ask questions they think are rhetorical to which there are actual answers. So all those questions, is this the America you want to live in? They said yes. You know, isn't this apartheid? No, because you can sit out there and have the exact same experience. And this isn't because you're black or white. This is because you might be a larger risk to the people who are sitting here eating food. It's so frustrating.
Yeah, the apartheid or the segregation line is so ludicrous. There's a quick fix for it, pal. If that's what you're truly worried about, just get vaccinated. When people invoke this type of discrimination and historical suffering and inequality to justify what they're doing now, which is usually just, you know, a false sense of victimhood or wanting to be contrarian or confrontational, I have no remorse for people when they do that and invoke these types of things to cover their butts. When and if something were to bad happen to them, I can't bring myself to feel bad.
Yeah. All right, that is all the time we have for this first hour. And for those of you in the segregated area of the linear viewership, if you want to join all of us cool people on the other side, switch over to our streaming platforms, Twitch and youtube.com/TheDamageReport. And thank you, and we'll see you there.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.